there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching. I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And over the past few years, I've been blessed and honored to have helped many single women throughout the world meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love they've always dreamed of. This virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. And I'm thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm very excited to interview our guest today. I've followed his work for a number of years, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. So it's my privilege today to welcome and introduce our wonderful guest, David Steele. Welcome, David.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. And just want to share with you a little bit about David before we get started. David Steele is a California-based marriage and family therapist who fell in love with coaching and in 1997 founded Relationship Coaching Institute, the first and largest international relationship coach training organization. David is a pioneer in the field of relationship coaching and author of the groundbreaking book for singles, Conscious Dating, Finding the Love of Your Life in Today's World. His latest book is Radical Marriage, Your Relationship as Your Greatest Adventure. Visit his website to take his relationship readiness quiz, download chapters of his books, access free conscious dating teleseminars, teleclinics, and more at consciousdating.com. Now, you'll want to make sure to listen till the end of the interview, as we'll be providing you with a special gift that David has offered for the summit participants, which gives you a variety of tools and resources for singles. So we'll tell you a little bit about that toward the end of the interview. And the title that David will be speaking on today is called Radical Dating, Five Essential Principles for Finding Lasting Love. Well, that's a pretty interesting and provocative title, David. So I'm curious if you can share with us what you mean by the term radical dating.
Oh, man. You know, I wrote Conscious Dating around 10 years ago. And that book was based on 8 years of research and working with singles and testing and really proving the strategies and concepts. And so just a month ago, as we speak, I published Radical Marriage. And so I got the idea that, well, you know what, if you want to have a radical marriage, not just an ordinary marriage, but really an extraordinary marriage, far beyond what you think is even possible, well, you have to practice what we might call radical dating. And so radical dating, I like to think of it as conscious dating on steroids. So
dating on steroids.
so that will, we're definitely going to get into that, but that's sort of my definition of radical dating right now. And I'm playing with the idea of changing conscious dating as a brand to radical dating. But for right now, I think of it as, you know, the next level of conscious dating. When you really want to find the love of your life and have an extraordinary partnership, you know, what is the strategies and approaches to that, as opposed to just finding a partner and having your sights set on an okay guy or the right guy? I mean, even the right guy is not necessarily going to guarantee that you're going to live happily ever after. So we actually need to shoot higher than that. And, you know, we tend to fall short on our expectations for ourselves and our expectations for dating and finding partners, we really tend to sell ourselves short. So I'm right now, I'm all about going for it, because your results will reflect what you shoot for, right? You're not going to get it unless you aim for it.
Right. Now, conscious, so let's see, we're talking about radical dating, and then you're talking about conscious dating, and you're saying that radical dating is conscious dating on steroids.
Yes.
So just to give us a little bit more on that, would you say, I'm trying to make sure our listeners understand this concept well, would you say that conscious dating is being intentional about your actions and about your love life and about what you want and what you hope for in your life? How would you describe that?
I think you described it really well. To be conscious is simply to be aware. And that's a big step for a lot of people, because dating and relationships and, where we meet somebody and, we kind of like them, but we're not sure. So should we give them a chance? Should we have a second date? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. We have a second date. Seems okay, but doesn't really turn me on. But maybe the chemistry will grow over time. Things are so opaque. They're confusing for a lot of people. So conscious dating is really about attaining clarity, to be crystal clear about who you are and what you want and how to get what you want. So when you're dating, there is no confusion at all. Is this the right guy or not? You will know immediately. When I met Darlene, honestly, it was like within 5 minutes, oh, my God, I can't believe I finally found the love of my life. But it takes a little bit of doing to get to that point. And in my case, it took, two divorces and 50-plus years of living and experience. But when you are ready and when you are clear, you can find and identify the love of your life faster than you can possibly imagine.
Mm. Yeah, that clarity can be so incredibly powerful, and yet you're right, it sometimes can be, it does require some effort and some intention to get to that clarity. I also think that you're making a really interesting point here, David, in talking about conscious dating or radical dating, because I think for a lot of people, they feel like relationships are just supposed to automatically happen, like the love is going to fall out of the sky one day and just suddenly appear. That happens sometimes, but it certainly doesn't happen for all of us. I know it didn't for me. And I think sometimes people have this perception, women may have this perception sometimes, that being intentional is the same as being desperate. And I think there's a really big difference, don't you?
Right, or being manipulative.
Right.
Right, but it's very, very, very different. One thing I'd like to say is that, relationships happen. Sort of like shit happens. Well,
yeah.
Relationships happen. They do. It happens all by themselves. You meet somebody.
A lot
somebody,
nicer thing to happen. Right?
So you meet somebody and you click and, boom, you're in a relationship, faster than your head can spin. So relationships do happen. They do happen rather automatically. You don't have to really work at it to make it happen. But if you want the kind of relationship that is going to make your heart sing, if you want to find the love of your life, if you want to live the life that you love, if you want to have an extraordinary radical relationship in marriage, then you need to find the right guy, and which is what we're all about on this telesummit, right? And and you need to be ready for it. You need to be willing to embrace it and step into that yourself. And that's, too often we don't even think it's possible, so we give up on it before we even start. But the point being that relationships happen, and great relationships are not automatic, though. They require consciousness and intentionality and good choice-making and practicing and learning some relationship skills and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I think that's such an interesting thought, David, because oftentimes I think we as women, single women, back when I was single, I saw kind of the the goal as being meeting the right guy. But in fact, that wasn't really the end goal. That was really just the beginning of creating an amazing relationship and a marriage. And so I think that's what you're talking about, where you evolve and you grow and you continue to have this consciousness and this awareness to not only in your dating, but as you move into a more established relationship or marriage, right?
Right. You know, there's a sort of unconscious fallacy in our culture. You know, we want what we want when we want it. And we want lots of things. And we want to be happy, and we want to live happily ever after, and we want the perfect partner, and we want to meet somebody tall, dark, handsome, and rich. Right?
Right.
The reality is, in the grown-up world, in the adult mature world, that we understand how things work, that just because you want something doesn't mean that you're ready for it. So, you know, a 13-year-old girl might want to have sex. Is she ready for it? You know, so there's all sorts of examples of if you try to go for something or accomplish something or get something before you're ready for it, it's not going to work out very well. And so the idea of readiness is one that really struck me as the very first step in being single and finding the love of your life, is start with yourself, is become ready for it. And wouldn't it be a tragedy if you met the love of your life, your soulmate, you know, this guy that you've been waiting all your life to meet, but you weren't ready. And so they have no interest in you, you're not available for them, it's like ships passing in the night because you weren't ready. You know, that would be a tragedy. So the idea of readiness is not one that we want to necessarily embrace and accept and admit to, but it's incredibly important. It is the very first step.
Yeah, you're right. And it may not be the sexiest thing to talk about, but really essential, which leads really nicely into the next question I want to ask you. So in addition to perhaps not being ready, what do you think are another one or two mistakes that singles frequently make when dating?
Oh, my gosh. I you know, of course there's a lot of them. I identified 14 dating traps that are in the Conscious Dating book. But, you know, I'm ready for this question, Michelle, because there's really only one thing. After all these years of falling into this myself, and coaching singles, hundreds of singles, and training coaches and Relationship Coaching Institute, there is one thing, one huge mistake that we all make, not just in relationships, but in our life.
Mm.
And it has to do with settling.
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 Mm.
And when we settle for less than what we really want, we will not be happy. We are dooming the relationship before it even starts. And there's all sorts of reasons for settling, right? We don't think we can get what we really want. We don't think it's possible. We don't think it's realistic. I'm too old. I'm too overweight. I'm not attractive enough. I don't have enough money. You know, we talk ourselves out of what we really want. So we settle for what we think we can find, what we think we can get, what we think we deserve. And so I have a mantra, and this is one that I came up with for myself. And this is before I met Darlene. This is, you know, I broke up with what I call an 80% relationship. An 80% relationship is, you know, it's like 80% of what I want, but this is 20% that, you know, it's just not there. And you try to fix it, and you try to make it work, and you hope it's going to happen, but you really can't let go of it. And so I really got it after dating around, after two divorces, after lots of relationship failure, after lots of trying to find the love of my life and trying to have a great relationship. I really got it that when you settle, you are denying yourself your heart's desire, and you're doing it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mantra that I came up with is, I'd rather be single than settle. And I even wrote an article about that. And Michelle, I got pissed off. I got angry. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I'd rather be alone for the rest of my life than get involved in another 80% relationship. I'd rather be single than settle. I was pissed. I was tired of it. I didn't want to do it anymore. And so I got to tell you, about 3 months after I had that epiphany and I decided I'm going to be single, I'd rather be single than settle. I'd rather be alone for the rest of my life. Paradoxically, around 3 months later, I met Darlene. So it wasn't until I decided to close the door on the 80% relationships and go for 100% of what I wanted that I actually found 100% of what I wanted. So that is my mantra for myself, and that's my suggestion for your mantra. You know, don't settle. Go after what you really want, 100%. Don't talk yourself out of it. You know, have the attitude of, I'd rather be single than settle. And it doesn't mean you're giving up. You're not going to give up. But you are not going to let go of even 1% of what you really want for yourself. So go for it. Believe you can find it, and you will. Look for it, and you will find it. But if you believe you won't find it, guess what? You won't find it.
Right. Oh, I can't even tell you how glad I am that you said what you just said, David, because I think that it's so heartbreaking that so many people do settle for less than what they really want. And they do settle, like you said, for what they think they can have or what they believe is still possible for them, and have kind of given up hope on having really that relationship that makes their heart sing. I think it's so heartbreaking. And I think many of us who were single for a long period of time or are still single have experienced this temptation or have been in relationships where perhaps we're settling for the 80% or the 50% or whatever it is. I remember one of the women that I started working with early last year when we first started working together, she said, we're really happy together about 25% of the time. I think is very heartbreaking.
That's sad.
So I love this mantra, and I love the encouragement that you're giving to the women on the summit to have that mantra, I'd rather be single than settle. So thank you so much for that. I think that's a really powerful, powerful concept. And you're right, it does lap into all aspects of our lives.
Yeah, you know, and going back to the clarity idea, that when you are absolutely clear about who you are and what you want and how to get what you want, you can find it faster than your head can spin. I found it within 3 months.
Yeah.
And when you are not clear, then you get scared. Is it even possible? Is it really going to happen? Is it, you know, is the one, you know, that I'm looking for really out there? Or, you know, am I being realistic? And so we talk ourselves out of it. So that clarity piece is really, really important. And, you know, so you might ask the question, well, how can I become clear? Well, you know, become clear about what? Okay, let's talk about three things. Who you are, what you want, and how to get what you want. So in the Conscious Dating book, who you are is about your vision, your purpose, your requirements, needs, and wants. And then how to get what you want, you know, that is, you know, the strategies and tools of dating. And there are things that work and there's things that don't work. So, you know, and we can talk about that if you like, but there are very, very specific strategies that will help you find the love of your life. And there are some dead ends that if you get caught up in, you're never going to find the love of your life. But one of the things that I am comforted by and that I recommend that you comfort yourself by when you're feeling discouraged and frustrated and, you know, it seems like, you know, the one that you're looking for is really hard to find or doesn't exist or is like a needle in a haystack. The thing that comforts me is, at the same time that you are seeking your soulmate, this person that's a great fit for you, your soulmate is seeking you. So you're not alone in this. You know, it's not like looking for a needle in the haystack and you know, you're the only one looking. There's somebody out there that is looking for you. And that is a cool idea. So,
it is,
you know,
a very cool idea.
And if you settle for less than what you really want, if you settle for an 80% relationship, then guess what? That soulmate of yours that's out there looking for you is never going to find you because you won't be available.
Yes. In fact, I tell my clients all the time that one of the keys to being with the right guy is not being tied down or caught up in a relationship with the wrong guy.
Yes.
And I think that's where, because you're right, then if you're in that situation, even if you happen to meet this soulmate or this person that might make your heart sing and you might make their heart sing, if you're emotionally involved in an 80% relationship or a 50% relationship or a 25% relationship, depending on where your settle point is, you're not going to be available for that right person when they come along.
Right.
And I think the concept you just said there about that there's someone out there that's looking for you and you're not alone in this journey, in this process, that I think is so beautiful, David. I think that's just lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool idea. So help them find you.
Yeah, it gave me the chills when you said that, by the way.
Yeah.
It really did. It gave
me
the chills. I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, I know there's so many things you could share with us, and I want to use our time really well together. What would you say are your five essential principles for finding lasting love?
Let's get right into it. And I do want to cover some specific strategies that I think are important. So principles,
yes, please.
So principles are the overarching ideas that need to guide your choice making. And the first one is that you've got to believe truly that you deserve to love and be loved. I mean, that's where it all starts. And if you don't really believe that, and it might seem like, you know, simple or even laughable. Of course, why wouldn't I believe that? But, you know, deep down, we all have self-esteem issues. We all have, you know, fears of inadequacy and all that good stuff. So, you know, we really have to truly believe that we deserve to love and be loved. You know, for me, that was a real, real toughie. And, of course, if you don't truly believe it, you're going to end up in relationships where your needs are not going to be met because you chose somebody who doesn't really love you as you are, because you don't love you as you are. So principle number one is truly, truly believe that you deserve to love and be loved, and do what it takes. You know, get it intellectually, get it emotionally, go through therapy, go through coaching. You know, take personal growth workshops. You know, do what you got to do. But if you're not coming from this place, then you will settle. You are at risk of settling. So, principle number one is truly, truly believe that you deserve to love and be loved for who you are, 100% for who you are. You are perfect as you are. You don't need to change a bit. The person that you want to be with loves you 100% for who you are. They wouldn't change a single thing about you.
Mm.
And you need to have that attitude towards yourself. I deserve to be with somebody who loves me as I am, who wouldn't change a single thing about me. I love me as I am. I wouldn't change a single thing about me. So it's self-fulfilling if we don't believe that. If I believe at some level I don't deserve to be loved and be loved for who I am, I'm going to find somebody that mirrors that. It's self-fulfilling. So that's principle number one. And, you know, that's fun. How about principle number two, which is be ready and available for commitment. And we have already talked about this, Michelle. So, you know, we don't really need to go over it too much, because if you're not ready and available, then you can meet the love of your life, your soulmate, the one who you were born for, but it'll never happen because you're not ready and you're not available. So you've got to be ready and available. That's principle number two.
Mm-hmm.
Principle number three of radical dating, conscious dating on steroids, is honor your deepest needs and requirements. Honor your deepest needs and requirements. Now, you know, all singles have their list. We all have these things that we want in a relationship. There's all, you know, we all have this idea of what kind of partner we want to be with. Well, the traits of a partner are actually not all that important. Because you can make a list of 100 traits of a partner. You can find somebody that meets all 100 and still be miserable with them. So it's not about the traits of a partner. You know, it's more about who you are and what you want and what your needs and requirements are. Then you can find a partner, choose a partner that meets your needs, meets your requirements. Now, needs and requirements are both very, very important, and they're very different. So requirements are the deal breakers. And they are what you must have for a relationship to work for you. If it's not there, then the relationship won't work, period. Just one thing. If it's missing, won't work. And so requirements, for example, like let's say you want to have a family, you want to have children. Okay?
Right.
If that's a requirement for you, then you choose somebody that also wants children. If you're with somebody that doesn't want children, then your requirement isn't met. You're going to be miserable. The relationship is doomed from the start.
Right.
One of the aspects of requirements is if you meet somebody or if you are involved in a relationship with somebody and the requirement is broken, that you're probably going to want to walk away. That would be what causes you to break up the relationship. You know, if you're brave enough to do that. So, for example, let's take monogamy. You know, fidelity, that is a requirement for a lot of people. So if your partner sleeps around, you're out of there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're brave enough, you're out of there. So, but the thing is, we have the things that we're aware of, that we want, that we need, that we require. But you know what? It's very much like an iceberg, that what we're aware of tends to be the tip. And there are these things that we deeply need and require that are underneath the surface. And that is crucial to uncover. So, you know, we don't want our next relationship to fail because it trips across some requirement that we didn't even know about. So, wouldn't it be nice to uncover what they are? And it's not that hard to do. You know, in the Conscious Dating book, I actually outline a program. I outline exercises for how you can do that. And in coaching, we train our coaches to, you know, help clients, you know, and this is part of that clarity piece. You know, becoming absolutely clear about who you are and what you want. But once you are clear, once you know what those deep needs and requirements are, honoring them, and this is the I'd rather single be single than settle idea. This is
right.
You're not going to just say, okay, well, it's unrealistic to expect that all of them are met, so I'll just go for the best I can find. I'll be okay if most of them are met. Well, that's settling. No. It's also self-fulfilling. If you don't believe you can get 100%, you're not going to get 100%. So honor your deepest needs and requirements. First, you got to know what they are, and then once you do know what they are, honor them. They're important. You're not going to be happy or fulfilled unless they're met. So crucial. So that's principle number three, honor your deepest needs and requirements. Principle number four, very related here, is be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Now, in radical marriage, we have some very radical practices and values. And one of them, for example, is, you know, commitment. Absolute commitment.
Yeah.
100% commitment. You aren't going anywhere no matter what. Another is prioritizing your partner's happiness. And so both partners do it, right? So you are with somebody that prioritizes your happiness, and you prioritize your partner's happiness. What a great partnership when you do that. But if you're not true to yourself and you choose somebody that can't make you happy, they just don't have it. You know, it's an 80% relationship or less. Then you're not being true to yourself, and you know, no matter how hard this person tries, they can't make you happy because you can't make yourself happy because you're not being true to yourself. So you know, you have to truly accept who you are and what you want 100% and be true to that, and find somebody who also accepts that and can meet your needs and requirements. So you know, especially women, women are at risk of giving themselves up because they are conditioned to be nurturers.
Yeah.
Right? You know, women have the babies. You know, women play with dolls when they're kids. Women are expected to be, and they consciously and unconsciously accept the role of nurturer. Well, it's really hard to say no when you're a nurturer. It's really hard to reject somebody or push somebody away if you're a nurturer. You know, you want to give them a chance. You know, you want to love them. You want to make them feel good. You don't want to make them feel bad. But, you know, you have to be true to yourself when you are in the process of dating and finding the right one for you. So that's principle number four.
Yeah, the people-pleasing and the losing yourself in a relationship or forgetting to be in tune with your own needs. A lot of women put their own needs and wants and desires way down on their own list.
Right.
And so I love what you're talking about here.
Yeah. So principle number five, out of five principles here of radical dating, is true love requires risk. True love requires risk. Now, this is probably the scariest of them all. Because
yeah, I can almost feel people trembling on the call.
Okay. And let me tell you why. Okay, we have a comfort level, right? We have a comfort zone. And so think of it as a vertical comfort zone. And, you know, right now I'm putting my hands out. You know, one is higher than the other. Now, the one that's the lower one, that is your lower limit. That's like your pain threshold. So when you touch your pain threshold, you get uncomfortable, and you want to bring it back into your comfort zone. You don't want discomfort. You don't want pain. And then the upper limit is your happiness threshold. And you get to the point where you just can't stand it anymore. You know, it's not comfortable for you to have this much happiness. Believe it or not, we have an upper limit. You know, we have a limit to how much happiness we can handle. And that's why a lot of people choose partners that, you know, make them miserable, because they're not comfortable being happy. And it sounds ludicrous. It's totally unconscious. They don't consciously do that. They don't even know they're doing it. But there is this comfort zone, and we are wired to be within our comfort zone, to stay there, because it's safe, because it's comfortable. However, one thing I learned when I became a coach, and, you know, when I was a therapist, I was really focused on, you know, treatment of mental, emotional, psychological disorders, of saving marriages, of solving human problems. Well, when I left that behind and became a coach, well, we coaches, we live in a whole different reality. It's not about solving problems. It's not about trying to figure out the past. It's about, you know, going for, you know, your desired future, making your goals happen, taking action.
Right.
And guess what? You will not be successful or fulfilled or even happy staying within your comfort zone. Think about it. You won't. Because your comfort zone, it's like, you know, where's your comfort zone? It's like sitting on your couch at home in front of the TV. If that's your comfort zone, then you're never going to meet the right guy, because you're never going to leave the house.
Right.
So nobody is successful or fulfilled if they stay within their comfort zone all the time. So principle number five is true love requires risk. You have to leave your comfort zone. You have to be willing to go for it and take a risk. And yes, when you take a risk, you risk pain. You risk rejection. You risk failure. But you also risk success and fulfillment. And so if you try to stay safe and you stay within your comfort zone, it just won't happen. So this is hugely important, and it's scary. True love requires risk. And radical marriage, oh, my gosh. You know, there is the kind of intimacy that you can have in a relationship that is just comfortable. You know, a lot of couples, they consider themselves to have a good marriage when they're comfortable. And so you watch them when they're having dinner and they barely talk to each other. And they spend their time watching TV and doing chores and going to work and going to bed, and they don't really connect. But they're comfortable.
Right.
Okay, is that the kind of relationship you want? Well, radical marriage is about taking emotional risk. It's about, you know, deepening your connection in your relationship. It's about telling your truth, not just a little of it, but all of it. It's about sharing your fantasies and desires and your secrets and, you know, really going for it, not holding anything back.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying to a lot of people. They don't want to live that. They don't want to live that way. And so, you know, if you don't want to live that way, don't buy the Radical Marriage book. It's not for you. But if you want your relationship to be your greatest adventure of your life, you know, it can be, but you have to leave your comfort zone for it to happen. And it starts when you're single.
Yeah, I almost, as you were describing this, David, I had this imagery of like a caterpillar in a cocoon, and the caterpillar may be safe, but the caterpillar is not becoming this beautiful butterfly, right?
Yeah.
And so it's almost like when you're talking about taking that risk, there's that potential of the relationship becoming like the beautiful butterfly.
Yeah, that's a great metaphor. I love that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. And it's so ironic because so often we think that we're protecting ourselves by the conscious or subconscious walls that we build around ourselves, or the ways we try to protect ourselves from being hurt or thinking we're not going to take risk. And yet in reality, the irony is that oftentimes that actually prevents us, protect us, it actually prevents us from having what we really deeply desire in our hearts. And so many people go through their whole lives like that, right?
Yeah. So, Michelle, at this point, when I share these five principles, most singles, I know exactly what they're thinking.
Tell us.
You probably know exactly what they're thinking. Okay, we've done all this talking.
Right.
That's all well and fine. But how in the world do I do this? How do I find the love of my life? The principles are great. The ideas are great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand it. Yada, yada, yada. But how? So it's the most common question I get from singles is, how can I do this? How can I find the love of my life?
Yeah.
And so I have a paradigm for that. I'm willing to share it right now. You want to get into it?
Thank you. Absolutely. I think we would all be very grateful to hear it.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to distill conscious dating into about 5 minutes.
Okay, perfect.
And so
let's go for it.
So if you're ready and available for a commitment and you you know your requirements, needs, and wants, and you have a vision for your life, you know, all that good stuff, then you practice what I call the four steps for conscious dating. And they are scouting, sorting, screening, and testing. These are the steps you take. This is how you find the love of your life. Scouting is the process of finding somebody to meet. There's many ways to scout. You can do it on the Internet with, you know, the Internet matchmaking services. I found Darlene, actually, through one of the biggies. You know, I found lots and lots of possibilities through Internet matchmaking dating sites, but I found Darlene through one of them. So, you know, it absolutely can work for you. It's a tool. A tool is only as effective as you use it. So scouting is a process of finding somebody to meet. Many ways to do that. One of the values of working with a coach is that, you know, you can explore the ways of scouting that are truly a fit for you and your personality and your preferences and your strengths. And you don't have to do what doesn't work for you. If you don't like, you know, using the Internet to find people, then don't. You don't have to. There's many other ways. So scouting is the process of finding somebody to meet. Many ways to do it. Sorting is the process of quickly determining, once you meet somebody, are they a possibility for you? Quickly, within the first 5 minutes. And this is not definitive. This is not a guarantee that they are the right one for you, but it's your initial sorting. And I want to give you an example of that.
Okay.
So how, you know, when I was single, how could I, within the first 5 minutes of meeting a woman, determine if there was any possibility here? Well, one of my biggest requirements is that they love kids, that they be a good mom. And I happen to have twin boys. And, you know, just having, you know, one boy as a child is challenging enough, but twin,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And these guys were challenging. I mean, you know, my nickname for them when they were little was the Two Stooges. And so you really have to love kids to want to be around twins, especially twin boys. So,
right.
So one of my sorting strategies, as soon as I would meet a woman, I would work it into the conversation pretty quickly that I have twin boys. So, for example, I might look at my watch and say, oh, yeah, in a little while I have to go to pick up my twin boys from school. And so then I would watch for a reaction. And sometimes the reaction would be, oh, twin boys, oh, how fun. Yeah, oh, you're so lucky. And then I know, okay, here's somebody who's a possibility. And other times I got a reaction like, oh, twin boys? Do you ever get any time for yourself? And so that tells me that this woman is seeing children as an obstacle, as something that gets in the way of adult time. And I certainly don't want to get together with somebody who sees my kids as an obstacle. So,
right.
You know, that is a very effective sorting strategy. Just take your top one or two requirements, work it into the conversation, and watch the reaction you get. You'll know right away. And, you know, there's an amount of energy here. You're looking for a strong energy, strong resonance. And if you don't get it, then it's a no. So sorting is the process of quickly determining if somebody you meet is a possibility for you, and you can use your top one or two requirements as sorting tools. Screening is the process of collecting enough information to determine if your requirements would be met. And so we don't have a million requirements. We, you know, most people, after working with hundreds and hundreds of singles, what I've discovered is that most singles, you know, we tend to have like somewhere between 8 and 12. I mean, truly, truly requirements, you know, would walk away, would break up this relationship if it wasn't met. We only have about 8 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in your screening, you want to collect enough information to know that would your requirements be met here? And also your needs, but, you know, we have lots of needs. It's impossible to know all of them all at once. But, you know, you can generally do pretty effective screening in a coffee date. And so when I was practicing internet matchmaking, I had, before I met Darlene, I would just estimate about 200 coffee dates.
You drink a lot of coffee, my friend.
And so a coffee date, you know, goes like this. You know, you identify somebody online, you reach out to them, you make a connection, you arrange to get together in person, and where do you meet? You meet at Starbucks, you know, or someplace similar. So that's what I call a coffee date. And it's meeting somebody for the first time is generally a half an hour or an hour. And at the end of it, you want to make a decision, yes or no. Is this somebody I want to see again or not? Well, I had enough clarity that out of, I'd say, 200 coffee dates. Well, let me ask you, Michelle, can you take a guess how many women I saw a second time?
I bet it wasn't 200. I bet it was far less than that, because I think you were getting to that place of real clarity. I don't know if I have a guess. Maybe I'm saying, 20, 15. Is that high?
Maybe 4 or 5.
Maybe 4 or 5.
Now you realize when I have these coffee days, I identify somebody that on paper, you know, their profile was, you know, really a strong possibility. It wasn't like they were random. So
yeah.
I was meeting with people who, you know, really appeared to be aligned with what I was looking for. Out of 200 of them, only 4 or 5 passed the first, test, passed the screening stage. after spending a half an hour to an hour with them, getting to know each other, asking each other questions, you know, gauging the chemistry, which is important.
Right.
You know, after half an hour to an hour, I knew immediately, yes, I want to see this person again, or no. And so
you were getting very, very clear and effective at your screening process. And what that tells me also, too, David, is that you weren't, we don't want to say wasting time, but you weren't investing time in those relationships that would likely more be like the 80%ers.
Right, right. No, no dead ends.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, it's not easy. It's hard. It's frustrating. There's times I want to give up.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it anymore. It's time consuming. You know, it can drive you to despair and believe, you know, I'm never going to find what I really want. But when I, you know, like I told the story, when I let go of that 80% relationship and I got pissed off and I, you know, pretty much decided I'd rather be single than settle. You know, it didn't take me 200 coffee dates. You know, I met Darlene within 3 months. That's like, you know, maybe meeting a couple more people. So the 200 was within, you know, I'd say, you know, 10 years of being single on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, so far we got scouting, which is the process of finding somebody to meet. You have sorting, which is the process of quickly determining if somebody you meet is a possibility for you. You have screening. If they pass your sorting, then, you know, sit down with them, get to know them, have coffee with them, maybe, you know, have dinner, but whatever. But don't get involved. You know, you're collecting information. And then testing is the process of testing out the information you get. So you do need to have some experiences with them. You know, this is when you might go play golf, or you might take a Sunday drive or spend a little more time together, get to know each other. So you're testing out the information that you've gotten in your screening. So if they pass your sorting and they pass your screening, and then you're starting to test, you go out on a couple of dates together, and they pass that, you know, then you know you have a pretty strong possibility here. So those are my four steps for conscious dating. If you want to find the love of your life, then take those four steps. And don't get involved with people that aren't 100% fit for you. And one of the best tools, the best ways to be efficient, is what I call there's two kinds of screening. And so this is probably one of the best tips that I have to share today.
Okay, listen up, ladies.
So when it comes to screening, what I notice is that there tends to be two forms of screening. Screening in versus screening out. Now, screening in is where we want to find ways that it could work. We want to give this person a chance. We want to find something in common and find a reason to say yes. We don't want to reject them. We don't want to be a jerk. You know, we want to give them a chance. We're screening in. We're finding ways that it might work. We're finding ways to say yes. We're screening in. We're being nice. Screening out is the opposite. Screening out is you are looking for any reason to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do this, it might feel like you're being a jerk. You're being mean. But you're not. Going back to the principles of radical dating, you're being true to yourself. You're honoring your deepest needs and your requirements. So screening out, remember those 200 coffee dates?
Yeah.
195 of them, I immediately said no. I screened them out on the first half hour of meeting them. And not to be mean, but, you know, I had enough clarity to know that it wasn't a deal for me, and it freed me up to go find, you know, the right person for me. And it freed them up to find the right person for them. So you're doing each other a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I love that I love that you're bringing this up, because I think that it's so essential and so important if you really do want to find that relationship that makes your heart sing.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes it feels like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
And you know what? It kind of is, because there's a lot of hay in that haystack. And in order to find that needle, you're going to have to be pretty efficient. So practice screening out, not screening in. You know, go ahead and date and meet people, but say no immediately. Find a reason to say no. And I tell you, when I met Darlene, it was almost scary. You know, everything lined up. The chemistry was there. I was so excited. It was scary. And to the point where I was looking for red flags. I was looking for some possible problem. You know, certainly everybody, you know, nobody's perfect, right?
And right.
Not that she's perfect as a person, but, you know, in terms of being perfect for me and being having, you know, a perfect relationship, you know, nobody's perfect, right? There's got to be a red flag. There's got to be a weakness. There's got to be something wrong here. And I went crazy trying to find it, and I was panicking that I couldn't find it because I thought I thought I was fooling myself. I thought, you know, well, shoot, you know, if I must be really looking through rose-colored glasses here, because I can't find any red flags at all. Is it? That's not even possible, is it? So I got on the phone and I called one of my relationship mentors. This is the woman who I have the most respect for as a relationship coach, as a relationship expert. You know, I did some training with her. We're great friends. She's a wonderful mentor for me. You know, if she was 20 years younger, I'd probably, you know, try to get her to divorce her husband. But and so I called her up and say, I met someone. I'm in love. But, you know, I'm scared. I can't find any red flags here. And is that even possible? I think I'm fooling myself here. And so her response to me was, David, stop looking for red flags. And she, you know, comforted me and she reassured me that, you know, if there's a red flag, you'll find it. You know, you're a mature person. You're aware enough. You understand relationships enough. You know, if there's a red flag, it'll be there. You'll find it. If you're not finding any red flags, then enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy.
And, you know, I needed that reassurance. And everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs a mentor. You know, that person to give them a reality check, to provide them the support so they don't get in their own way. And if I hadn't had that conversation with her, I might have sabotaged this relationship before it even got off the ground.
Right.
So that's really, really important. So anyway, practice screening out. Please, please, please. And yes, it is like finding a needle in a haystack. And yes, you are going to be frustrated. And yes, it's going to seem like it's taking forever. And yes, you're going to fear that you're never going to find them. However, I want you to imagine that, yes, there's this needle, and yes, there's this huge haystack. I want you to imagine that you have a truck-mounted electromagnet. And all you got to do...
A truck-mounted electromagnet.
Yes. And all you got to do is drive that truck up to the haystack, flick a switch, and that electromagnet is going to find that needle fast.
Hmm. Oh, I love that image.
And that is what conscious dating and radical dating does for you. That's what happens when you truly believe in yourself, when you have clarity about who you are and what you want and how to get it, when you practice the four steps for conscious dating, the scouting, sorting, screening, and testing, when you truly practice screening out, when you say no to anybody and everybody that, you know, isn't 100% aligned with what you're looking for, you will find that needle faster than you can possibly imagine.
Mm. Oh, David, I love that. That's so beautiful and so hopeful. And I just think that message is so needed, because I know both you and I have experienced being single and have experienced that journey. I used to joke around and say, that I was going to write a book called Dating for Decades, chronicling all of my dating escapades. And at one point I joked and said, you know, if this goes on much longer, it's going to be like the Encyclopedia Britannica of dating for decades. And it can feel like that we're looking for a needle in the haystack. And I have found through my own experience and now through helping support other women on this journey that that clarity piece is so essential. And then there's sometimes it's required that we have a bit of tenacity. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you went on 200 coffee dates, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Looking back on it, it's like, you know, man, that was a lot of work.
but it was a lot of work.
But it was so worth it. You know, there is a final point that I'd like to share today.
Yes, please.
For crying out loud, please don't do this alone. You know, when you try to do something huge by yourself, you're setting yourself up for failure. And so the principle that I would like to share is that you can achieve anything with enough support. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the most impossible thing you can imagine, you know, getting to the moon. You could get to the moon with enough support. How about climbing the Empire State Building? Oh, that's pretty scary. You could do that with enough support. You can accomplish anything with enough support. And our culture does not support that very well. And so in the coaching profession, one of our biggest pain points is that, you know, we see people who have huge goals and they set themselves up for failure because they're trying to do it all by themselves. And when it doesn't happen, then they give up. And they think that it's not going to happen for them, you know, because they can't do it. Well, no, you absolutely can do it. But no one is successful alone. You know, if you think about that, success always involves the support of others. We are social beings. You know, a child is not going to be successful without a parent. A student is not going to be successful without a teacher. You know, an employee is not going to be successful without a manager. You know, on and on and on. We are social beings. So if you are one of these lone rangers who's trying to do it all yourself and getting frustrated, please do reach out and get the support you need, because one thing that I believe me, I'm a guy. I want to do it myself. I want to figure it out myself. I'm one of these guys. I don't want to read the manual. I will only open it up if I'm desperate and I can't figure it out myself. And I'm proud to say usually I don't have to open up the manual. But, you know, so here I am. I'm a guy. I really do value independence and doing things myself. But as a coach and as a person, I've learned strong lessons that no one is successful alone, that you can achieve anything with enough support, including finding the love of your life. So please don't do this alone. Michelle is here. Conscious Dating is here. Radical Dating is here. There's lots and lots of coaches out there that are available and trained and qualified. And you know, not just coaches, but, you know, friends and family. But not all your friends and family are good support people for you. The ones that tell you that, you know, you're being unrealistic, they are not good support people for you. So it's important to get the right kind of support, the people that will believe in you and support you to get what you really want out of your life and your relationship.
Thank you so much for that, David, and I completely concur. I know for my own journey, the Dating for Decades journey that I described to you, I would not be in the wonderful, happy marriage that I am today if I hadn't had sought some support and some coaching and some help and assistance along the way. And it felt like it should have happened just without me having to do that. I was resistant to that for a while in getting that support and help because I thought, well, I can figure out all these other aspects of my life why is this one not working so well? And it seemed like a weakness in some ways for me originally to seek that support and help. And yet when I did, it began to create openings and possibilities that I had never seen before. And I was able to recognize ways that I had been self-sabotaging that I had never seen before. And, you know, this is after I had read all kinds of books and done all kinds of things to try to figure it out on my own. So I really appreciate what you said there, because I do know from personal experience, from my own journey, and in having the privilege of supporting others, as I know you do, how powerful that support can be. So thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're struggling, you know, who can you get support from? You know, when I meet people that are struggling and they talk about how impossible it is and how much they're struggling, and I ask them, who's supporting you? And always the answer is, well, what do you mean? So, you know, please. And you know, this is not an attempt to sell coaching or our services. It's just a fact. It's just a truth. No one is successful alone. Please get the support that you need. And this includes in finding the love of your life. I would not be with Darlene today. I would not have married, you know, my soulmate if I didn't, you know, reach out at that crucial point and for support from one of my relationship mentors. Without her support, I would have sabotaged that relationship, guaranteed.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, thank you so much, David, for bringing that up and mentioning that and emphasizing that. And I really just feel like we could go on for hours. I wish we had more time, but I'm so grateful to you for generously sharing. I think you've shared some really, really important tips and tools and given some tangible things that the women on the call can take away and begin to implement and experiment with. And so we're really grateful for what you've shared today, David. Thank you so much for that.
Very welcome.
And I know you have some really yummy resources, all kinds of free gifts, downloads, and other resources for finding the love of your life, and audio programs, and as David calls it, it's a gold mine of resources. And I would really encourage each of you listening to the call today to visit this link, readyfortherightguy.com/David. And that will take you to the page where you can access all of these wonderful free resources that David has created and is so generously providing to those of us on the call, because I know you're going to want to tap into additional resources and more of his wisdom that he's so generously shared. And as I mentioned, I have followed David's work for a long time. I'm a big fan of his work, and I know that he has so much value, so many valuable resources that he has to share with you. So please, again, go to readyfortherightguy.com/David. So
yeah,
you
I do have one of the resources on that page. It's one of my favorites.
Tell us about it.
It's called Using Conscious Dating to Find Your Soulmate. And what it is, it's an interview where Darlene and I, we both talk about our individual journeys and how we found each other and the process that we went through and all the tips and strategies. So, you know, there's even more in that program than we were able to cover today. So highly recommend it, Using Conscious Dating to Find Your Soulmate. That way you get to hear it directly from Darlene as well as I. So it's a very cool program.
Thank you, David. And I know that many of you will enjoy that. So just one more time, readyfortherightguy.com/David. And I want to thank you again, David, for being so generous with your wisdom and the free gifts. And David and I both want to thank each of you for being here with us today and invite you to consider implementing the ideas that resonate with you from this and the other summit interviews. And then just remind you that during this summit, you will have access to the best wisdom from over 25 love and relationship experts, and you're able to listen to the interviews and replays are available for 48 hours. And I'm sure you're going to be listening to as many of the interviews as possible. However, knowing that life is busy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews, I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which includes the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews, interview highlight sheets, and some really juicy summit bonuses. And you can check all of this out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And this way you'll be able to listen to the interviews multiple times at your own convenience. It's kind of like having a team of experts in your pocketbook. And then during the summit, you are also eligible for special event pricing for this VIP upgrade package, which is $97. And once again, that's at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. So thank you so much for being here with us today. I want to thank our special guest, David Steele, once again. And I look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. And David and I are both sending you lots of love, blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for the right guy. Bye-bye for now.